Street?
Right, uh-huh.
Where and when were you born?
I was born in Danville, Virginia, 1956. And my family originated there. Just briefly to tell you about it, my family came from Scotland in the late 1700s. And how we got into the horse supply business was in the 1870s, my great-great-grandfather, because of the period of time they used horses and equipment and saddles, he was involved in farming in Virginia, and his son became interested in the leather business. He was a salesman for the elaborate fine buggies that they used back in that period, and he made he would sell a buggy, and then he would custom make a real fine, very detailed harness to go with it. And so that's how he got started in it. And he also made custom-made saddles for the rider. My grandfather, who was his son, carried the business on in the early 1900s. And during the Depression time, horses were fading out, and automobiles and trucks for farm use were coming in to focus a lot. And that was the Depression years. People were not, well, they were very tight with their money, so being in the leather business, he, in order to stay alive during those times, he went into the shoe repair business a lot because he had the experience in leather. That went on for many years, and my father, after World War II, took the business and went back to what his grandfather, who was my great-grandfather, had originated the business in the custom saddlery. That was his love, and so he went into that. This was all in Virginia, and then I was just a year and a half old when we moved to Florida. My father brought the business down as a custom saddlery to Lake Worth, and my brother, my sister, and I grew up in the business. We all still work in the business nowadays. We each have a different function in the business, and I'm carrying on the handwork of it. My brother is more in the sales and marketing of the business. My sister is office manager and personnel manager and head bookkeeper. And I and my father still are making the saddles and the bridle work and the other leather work that you see here.
Now, how old were you when you first started working?
I was 11 years old.
Remember the first time you started working in the shop?
Sure. My first job was learning how to do the hand tooling on the saddles. And that's always been one of my favorite and my highlights in the saddle making business. I really enjoy the very detailed tooling patterns. I started there because my father had that position that he needed filled in the shop. He was doing the saddle making, and we had some other folks that were doing other parts of the work, and he needed a hand tooler, so I started doing that. I was always interested in painting and drawing as a child, so I enjoy working with my hands and the artistic end of it. Well, when you first start out, you have your piece of leather that has been fitted to whatever part of the saddle it is supposed to be. We mark an outline to show the area that we will work in. We dampen the leather, and as it begins to dry, it goes through a kind of a process called casing. And that's just when the leather becomes really ripe for tooling and cutting, that's when you start working on it. You draw your pattern on, you take a knife that I can probably show you down at the shop there, and it's called a swivel knife. You cut your pattern in by hand, and then you have a series of about 12 to 18 tools that you use and emboss. And when I say emboss, it's not like done like a machine would, but it's you begin creating this relief by hand with the different tools and a rawhide mallet. So it's all done by hand.
Now, you don't make English saddles anymore.
No.
You don't tool those anymore.
No. These English saddles we've always imported from a company in England by the name of Oxford. And we've been working with them for about 25 years now, and they create a line of English saddles for us. But we do repair them.
Yeah. Besides the general, you know, appearance of the appearance differences between a Western and an English sack. Mm-hmm. What are the structural differences?
Well, they both begin with a framework, which is like the foundation of a house, and it's called a tree, just like a tree outdoors would be, by the same spelling and name. They're in our saddles, they're wood, and they're covered with rawhide, which is the natural state of leather after it's skinned off the animal. That's where you get the shape of the seat, the strength, and where everything is hung off of the saddle. From there, you just begin building up the desired shape of the seat that each individual rider wants for their comfort and purpose. And then you start fitting the different parts. And we have basic patterns that we work off to get the basic styles.
Now, what is the tree made of?
It's wood. In an English saddle, they're made out of laminated plywood. So they are wood. In a Western saddle, they are made out of Western pine, and that gives it a lot of strength, but gives it a lot of flexibility also.
Tree is the most important.
Yeah.
Silver work. Mm-hmm. Do you tool that as well?
I myself don't tool it. We have silversmiths that do that for us, but I design the silver and give them instructions on how to tool it.
How many people are in the shop?
About 15.
Mm-hmm. Each has a specific
mm-hmm. Right.
What are the kinds of tools?
Well, we have the tooling. We have people that do strap work, like you see here. My father takes the orders that I'll write up, and he cuts everything, and then he gives it to an individual worker to glue up, to further cut, do the refined shapes on it, to stitch it, to color it, all those different parts. We have people that make just the chaps that the riders wear, the ties, like you see up on there on the little revolving rack, some of the wearing apparel articles. We make a few of those. Then we have people that do just the saddle work after it's been cut, handed to them, they fit it up. You begin by, you have the basic tree, and then you build the ground seat, which is like the foundation, and that is building the shape that is comfortable for you and for what purpose. There's two or three different styles of seats that you would put in for different purposes. There's a flat seat for cutting horse people. They need something that they can move around in a lot when they're working with cattle. There's an equitation seat, which more or less locks you in position so you don't move, and that is for like riders here you see in the show ring. Then there's personal taste, what is most comfortable to them, and we'll shape it however they like. Well, we do both, actually. Uh-huh.
So if somebody came in and wanted to be fitted for a saddle, mm-hmm.
Well, we let them look at our basic styles that we have, and in our store we try to keep about 12 different designs on hand all the time that they can get an idea of what's available. Then they start sitting, and we've got about three or four different trees. I guess it's like an easy chair, whichever one feels the best to you. They'll sit in those, and they'll pick out the basic style of tree that they want, and then they'll start adding their design, what kind of tooling pattern they want, whether they want an oak leaf or a flower design or a woven design. Then they'll pick out their silver design, whether they want something fancy or more refined and simple.
Now, would they come in occasionally? How long does it take to make this?
Well, the actual saddle work itself takes anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks, but when someone orders a saddle, it's usually about 3 months before we deliver it because of the backlog.
Right. Are there enough local people that come in and check it out?
Yeah, some people like to do that. That's not very often, but sometimes they're real concerned about the shape of the seat. That's usually the most important factor to them, and they want to come in as the saddle's being made and sit in it to make sure it's being done the way they want.
What are the most popular motifs?
As far as designs on them? Right now the California look is very popular, as is with a lot of other things. Yes. The double corner plates. The corner plates are the silver piece that goes in the corner down in the bottom there, like you can see in the one in the high rack. They have a bottom one and a top one that's very popular right now, and the light color saddle is very popular right now. That's a style that has been very popular in California for a number of years, and we have in the East, it has caught on real big, so that's a very popular. Yeah, you could say it originated there. It's an old cowboy look, which kind of originated in California. A lot of folks, if they want to spend a little more money, they'll get their name done in gold on those pieces of silver in the back there. They'll get different style of conchos, which are the round pieces that go in the different positions there.
Are they all called conchos?
If they're round and are generally that size, that's what you call a concho.
Because I'm looking at the one on the saddle there.
Right here?
Yeah.
It's called a swell cap or a pommel. A swell cap
Okay. Or
a pommel cap. These are your conchos. Conchos can also be something that you would put on your chaps in the back to fasten them together, and it's a decoration.
Now, I know that saddle is sort of the one that is up on the high rack. New tooling.
Sure, that's one of our woven designs, and that is called the serpentine because of the snake-like design, and it's also kind of comparable to the gold chains that have that serpentine look to it, and that's why we nicknamed it that. There's also another design, that's one of the three woven designs we do. We do a basket weave, which looks like basket weaving, which is not this one, but this is another one. This is called our diamond weave because of the shape of it right here. But I don't have a basket weave one here to show you, but it's it's done, it looks like a woven basket.
But this is an original thing. Well, all of the designs, and isn't true. I was told yesterday that, everybody's going to put their own mark in a design.
Right.
What kind of mark do you call yours?
Well, I don't think I quite understand your question.
Okay. As somebody looking at a bunch of saddles, and they all have very particular designs. How would they be able to point out, that one's made by McClellan?
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
How would they be able to tell?
Okay. Well, generally among several saddle makers in the United States nowadays, the basic look that you see here is real popular with them also, because that's what the consumer, our customers, are wanting. The light color saddles with the double corner plates are very popular right now. But in ours, we pride ourselves in the great amount of detail that we put in our saddles, and you don't see that in everybody's work. We try to make ours not to where it looks like it came out of a factory off a production line, but we try to give it a real uniqueness, and we don't make several of one style. We'll make a few of that, and then we'll eliminate that one and go on to another style. So people, when they're in the show ring, they don't look at their neighbor, their fellow competitor next to them and see the same thing. They look real unique.
How many different kinds of styles do you make?
Well, we have about 8 different tooling designs. Basically, there's about 4 different styles of saddles that we make. There's a pleasure horse saddle, which you see like this. They're usually done with a detailed tooling pattern and the elaborate silver trim. And then there's a cutting saddle, which I don't have one here. Flatseat, it's very plain. They look similar to this, but they're used in working cattle on the ranches.
This one's really deep.
This one's called a reining saddle, and it has a very deep seat for that purpose, because the horse is a performance horse. He reins is what he does. He responds to the different reining patterns that the rider will put him through. They need a very deep seat because the horse is sliding and stopping a lot, and the rider needs that support behind him to keep him in the saddle. There's also another style. I mentioned the pleasure horse, which are like these, the reining, this style, the cutting, which is the flat seat, and the roping, which is most people, when they think of horses and Western horses, they'll put that picture together of the cowboy in the rodeo roping the cattle. And then there's another style, which is like this right here, and it's the barrel racing, and that's where they're running around the barrels in the middle of the ring.
So that has a real deep dish to it.
Yes, you can see like that. They're usually a very plain saddle and very lightweight because they need that.
Also, I noticed that the pommels higher pleasure than the knees. Now, would they even be lower in a cutting?
No, actually, they're just a little bit higher or the same height as this. What might fool you is the seat here built up. Actually, the height of this pommel on this tree and this one are the same height, but because of the buildup of the seat, it probably gives you the illusion that it's higher.
Yeah, but that one's real deep.
Uh-huh.
But this one's also a little longer.
Uh-huh, that's right. There are different sizes in the seats also, depending on the riders.
Now, there's a function for most of these tabs. I'd say with the end tabs here, that's mostly decoration.
Right, uh-huh.
But what about these flaps here?
Okay, after you get off the saddle and you're going to put it in your tack room, what you'll do is you'll take your girth, or some people call it the cinch, which is usually the woven hair strap like this, or a leather straight strap like this that holds the saddle on. They'll take that off, leave it buckled on this, which is called the off billet, and then buckle the end that did go on underneath the horse over here, and they'll buckle it here to keep it out of the way. So they don't trip over it as they're taking it off, putting it in the trailer or the tack room. This strap here is to put your tie strap, which when you bring your cinch under, you take this long one and you wrap it like this several times to tighten it up on the other side of the horse. Then you take the excess so it's not dangling there, getting in the way and looking unsightly, and you loop it through here.
And these pieces?
Well, this is used for training purpose. If a horse is having a problem keeping his head going straight while he's doing his reining pattern in the show ring. Sometimes they'll be like little kids or maybe dogs or something like that gets distracted. They want to look to one side. They'll train them and take a rein off the bridle and tie it around here and work the horse like that. So he'll go the opposite of what he's having the problem do.
One question with this tool,
The
thing that would seem to me is that if this, you're riding with other people,
mm-hmm.
and these shine in the light,
uh-huh.
the reflection would spook the horse.
No, they don't have that problem. They might occasionally, but it's not a common problem.
Yeah, well, obviously, because I think, more people would.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it a style of the saddle to have the this much of a kind of a blanket over the tree? It seems like there are two flaps here.
Uh-huh.
Actually, there's three.
Well, this is your seat.
Yeah.
This is the same here.
So that's a seat layer.
It's just this is called the skirt, just like a woman's skirt.
Right.
This part of the saddle is called the skirt.
Okay.
And it's a style now. A few years ago, all you saw was a single skirt like this, which the tree sits inside this like an envelope. Now this style has the extra piece on it. We call this a rear jockey because it sits on top of it. Yeah, but it has the same basic skirt here, and then it has this extra jockey on top. And it's just a style, really.
So it's an aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody in the family, younger in the family, learning now?
No. My brother's the oldest, my sister's in the middle, and I'm the youngest, and I'm 30 years old. So right now it's ending with me momentarily. I don't have any children yet, so.
Any nieces, nephews?
Ted has a son, and he's expressed a desire, but he's only like 8 or 9 years old now, so maybe in the future he might. He's good with his hands, he's artistic.
Do you do anything else?
Well, in my personal time, I like to paint. I like to do watercolors. Basically, that's about it. I like to do landscaping at my home.
It's still textured.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Question about the suede.
Uh-huh.
So it's even rain.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Worrying about rain, sweat.
Okay, well, because it's soft, it does give you some traction in the seat. A slick seat, you would have a tendency to slide out of it. And this gives you a little more cushion and a little more ability to stick in the seat. Can you excuse me?
Yes, I will.
Okay.